Hi, this is Sarah.
And this is Rachel.
And this is The Ripper Diaries, a podcast where we rip apart, episode by episode, The Vampire Diaries. Warning, this is a rewatch podcast. There's always spoilers. This is such a big spoiler episode, too, if you've not watched the series.
Oh, yeah, so true. Yeah.
So warning.
Yeah, we're going to talk about a lot. This episode is season 2, episode 19, Klaus. Obviously, we get a little Joseph Morgan face reveal.
A little. Love. Finally.
Yeah, we finally get it. It's everything to me. And yeah, we get into the original Sun and Moon curse. Mm-hmm. Lots. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a turning point, I feel, in like the show as a whole. Obviously, Elijah was like a big turning point in general, just introducing the originals. But introducing like Klaus, like actual Klaus, not taking over people's bodies Klaus, but like real Klaus.
Yeah.
Especially in flashbacks too. I think like the original's flashbacks in this episode, I don't know, are such a tone shift for the series in a way for me that are just really interesting. I love seeing it. I'm so excited to be entering like this new phase of Vampire Diaries.
I know. Even just the drop that there's like a whole family of them. It's not going to just be Klaus and Elijah. It tees up so much. It's so good.
There's so many good like little goodies and secrets and things that like as a first time viewer, hence the spoiler warning, you wouldn't know. And they're definitely setting up a ton of things for how the rest of the season will play out and for season 3 in this episode. Yeah. So really excited to dig into it. So we might as well jump straight into right where we left off. Obviously, we saw at the very end of the last episode, Elena had taken the dagger out of Elijah. He's now waking up. And he very suddenly, like, wakes up, and he's in shock, and he says, Katarina, when he looks at Elena. Which, again, the spoilers, the rewatchers, wouldn't have made more sense to think of Tatia immediately when looking at her. I feel like that would be the brain's first thought process. But obviously, they didn't know that yet. So
I assume they just hadn't given Katarina.
Yeah. And that, of course, launches us into our first flashback of the episode. We see it says England 1492, and we see inside a mansion. There's a party underway. Trevor is still alive. Trevor, this guy.
Never thought he would return, but here he is in the little flashback.
Yeah, always making a comeback. And he goes over to talk to Elijah, and Elijah's kind of asking like about this mystery girl that Trevor has brought. And Trevor introduces Elijah to Catherine. Of course, this is the mystery girl. And we're cutting away from like the 1400s into current Elena, who's helping him, and he's like very confused and like catching his breath. You know, they're cutting back and forth between reality and memory. And Elijah says to Catherine, "Forgive me, you remind me of someone," which again, I really like that setup to kind of clue us that like Elijah knows the doppelganger pre-Catherine. Like, this, she's not the first doppelganger he has met. He doesn't say that outright, but "you remind me of someone" is a very good clue to tell us that.
Yeah, there's a real person to be reminded of.
Yeah, exactly. So Elijah, again, he's waking up. He's finally, like, awake, but now he can't breathe. He's like, "I can't breathe."
Yeah, yeah, his body is spasming. He's, like, jerking all around the little cellarway.
Yeah.
And he's sort of, like, hitting the invisible barriers in the cellar, too. And they both realize that Elijah hasn't been invited in. And Elijah asks Elena, like, "Get me out of here." But before Elena can even do anything, which couldn't she have just said right then and there, like, "I invite you in"? I don't know. But anyway, before she can really do that, Elijah vamp speeds upstairs and races outside. And we see Elena follows him up and finds Elijah, like, crouching by the doorway outside.
I was like, how did Stefan and Damon not hear him? He was slamming around the halls. He was like a ping pong ball in there, like, hitting all the walls going outside. I was like, this didn't wake them up or bring them downstairs.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I thought in this little conversation. So Elijah's outside. He's crouched in front of the doorway, like, to the outside. And as soon as he sort of catches his breath, he tries to rush in at Elena again, and he hits the invisible barrier because he hasn't been invited in. And Elijah asks, "What happened?" And Elena just sort of goes, like, "Shh," like she's like, "I don't want them to hear," like pointing upstairs to Stefan and Damon where they would presumably be. Which, to that crazy point, like, they've already heard, but sure, whatever. And she says she'll tell him everything, but just not here. Mm-hmm. And Elena asks Elijah, "Can I trust you?"
And she's bold.
I was gonna say, she's ballsy. And Elijah just goes, like, through gritted teeth, and of course whispering too, like, "Can I trust you?" Like, also, there's just something about this little, like, whisper talk they're doing.
Nina and Daniel already have, like, a lethal amount of chemistry that when you're adding stuff like this, and we'll get to it later in, like, the Catherine stuff especially, Yeah, they know what they're doing. The writers giving them moments like this.
I know. I was like, already, I'm here for this episode. I love them together.
Yeah.
But yeah, to prove to Elijah that Elena can be trusted, Elena gives him the dagger.
Yeah.
And he sort of takes it and flicks it into his sleeve.
Bold move. That is she's like
wild.
I wrote this a few times, so I'll bring it up again. But like, those two really know how to like play the game of like trust and promises and all of these things to each other. They're very, it's like they always just wordlessly know how to, because he doesn't say give me the dagger. He just says like, how can I trust you? And she just gives him the dagger.
Yeah. And there's a later scene where I was thinking this too, when Elena goes back to take care of Jenna. We'll get there.
Yeah.
That I'm like, they just get each other in such a weird way. I'm surprised they never tried to do like a little like,
I don't know. It's too complicated with her with Stefan and Damon. There was no room there's already for another character. Yeah. But it would have been really good.
So good.
I really would have enjoyed an Elijah Elena arc, like somehow. Like maybe like a little summer together or something. Like the
little summer loving.
The Salvatore boys are like locked up in the I don't know, one of those test cells or whatever they get trapped in at some point. And those two are just stuck together for the summer. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
But anyway, this girl's crazy. So she gives Elijah the dagger, her one literal weapon. And that's like where the scene ends for now between those two. It's like, okay, presumably like she has earned his trust. And so Stefan, we see, wakes up and he realizes that Elena isn't there. So he goes like right downstairs looking for her, and he finds Andy standing there. Almost forgot about Andy, first of all.
Yeah, she, I don't even remember when we last saw her.
It's been a couple episodes. I think the dinner party, maybe when Klaus or Elijah got stabbed. I don't know. She obviously wasn't at the dance.
Yeah, she wasn't in the dance episode, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's been a minute. Yeah.
Also, I have to say, not Stefan in the little like tank top sweatpants. I don't
know. Love him.
It's like, it works, but I don't know. Just something about that little combo is like,
yeah,
they always have him in a tank top.
Yeah, they always got Damon shirtless.
I was gonna say, I see you, Julie Plec.
Yeah. Stefan always has to be in a tank top, and Damon always has to be unbuttoned or shirtless. Those are the only two ways this can happen.
Yeah.
But anyway, so forgot about Andy because she's there. Mm-hmm. And Stefan asks Damon and Andy, where is Elena? Like, has anybody seen Elena? And Damon says, I don't know, Stefan, it's your girlfriend. Mine's right here. I was like, I love him.
No.
It's so funny.
He's wild in this episode.
Oh.
We'll get there.
He's wild in this end of the season, I would say. The next one is even worse. So
he's off the rails.
Yeah, a lot to say about Damon for the next couple. But yes, so he says that little snarky line. And then Damon asks Andy if he can feed on her. Like, he's like, oh, like, you know, a little snack before you go. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, like, I'm already late for work. Like, I gotta go. It's so messy. And he's like, he starts doing like a pouty lip. He's like, like, please. It's so hilarious, but obviously so wrong when you really think about
it. Yeah, it's not great.
Stefan's just ignoring them now. He leaves a voicemail for Elena and is like asking where she is. Yeah. But then he does have to turn his attention back to Damon and Andy, and he's just like so disgusted watching them because they start kissing too. They just start like making out in the middle of this, like, just like, oh yeah, just, he's begging to feed on her, and she's like, it's too messy.
Yeah.
And they start kissing, and so Stefan says to Damon, like, what are you doing? She's not like a wind-up toy. And Andy is the one that responds. She's like, it's really none of your business, Stefan. I was like, she's, oh, and Damon God. Said what she said.
Yeah. Andy came out swinging.
She did.
I love Andy. She's such an underrated character.
I mean, let's be real, like, we would be Andy if
absolutely.
If Damon was compelling me, I'd be like, Stefan,
mind your business.
Like, I'm happy, Stefan, don't take this from me.
Like, this is everything I ever wanted.
Yeah, even though you're being like abused, but you know,
overlooking towards that. The end of the episode, not anymore, but this little scene,
this
like,
scene, you're like, eh, okay, he does respect her and not feed off of her when she says no,
at least,
so
at least right here,
the bar is in hell, but
the bar is so low.
There's a bar. But anyway, so obviously that's not going well with those two, so Stefan's like, obviously still needs to find Elena. And so he starts like looking around, and he notices that like the basement door, the door like to the downstairs, is open. So he starts like going that way, and Damon obviously notices, like, oh wait, something's up. And so he starts following Stefan, And, you know, they immediately put it together. Like, Elena, rash decisions. Bonnie almost died last night. Yep. What is Elena going to do? And they, of course, go all the way down to the cellar and find Elijah's body is gone. Elena undaggered Elijah.
Yeah.
And Damon, like, says, he's like, she didn't.
Yeah, like, oh, no, she didn't. Yeah.
But it's, of course, like, yeah, of course, yeah, Elena of course. Did. There's no other logical explanation of how Elijah got out and Elena's missing. Like, she could have been kidnapped. Somebody could have gotten Elijah out and kidnapped Elena. And they're like, no, this has Elena written all over it. Yeah, she did this to herself, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. They know her too well.
They do. But
yeah. Anyway, Catherine and Alaric Klaus. Yeah, Alaric Klaus. I still am not sure which to call him. But yeah, Alaric Klaus are in Alaric's apartment. Maddox is there, the witch that Klaus has working for him. And Maddox is on his way out and Klaus tells him to hurry so he can get out of this body because Maddox is apparently going to get his body. And Klaus tells Catherine this, and Catherine asks if getting out of Alaric's body is really a good idea. And Klaus/Alaric just tells Catherine, I've killed the witch, I have the moonstone, I have the doppelganger.
Yeah.
I am so ready to break this curse.
Yeah, it's literally the full moon tomorrow. Why
yeah, the
not?
Full, yeah, the full moon is like right around the corner. Yeah. And Catherine asks, you know, like, why do this in Mystic Falls if everyone is just going to try to stop you? Obviously, Damon, Stefan, everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And Klaus reveals that the ritual actually has to be done in Mystic Falls.
Yeah.
The birthplace of the doppelganger.
I love that. I talked about this a few episodes ago with the Marins. I think, like, a lot of times with magic especially, you have to build these, like, rules in order to make the story make sense. You know, yes. Like, you have to put some sort of structure around it. Because, yeah, why would Klaus stay in Mystic Falls? Why wouldn't he grab Elena and run with her? You know, that makes so much more logical sense. And so the perfect way is, like, a storyteller is to be like, well, we got to just write a rule in that, like, in the spell it has to be done in the birthplace, which is Mystic Falls, which means he has to stay there. It's, like, a perfect storytelling device. I love it.
Yeah, I know. I do like when, like, the little spell cleans this, like, tidies this all up. It's like, okay, this actually does make a lot of sense.
Yep.
But yeah, this is apparently the birthplace of the doppelganger. And Klaus uses this opportunity to remind Catherine that she didn't stick around long enough to find out, like, that part of the curse.
Yep.
And related to birthplaces, Klaus reminds her he found her birthplace and killed the whole village where she lived.
Yep.
And Klaus says, like, let's hope Elena's not that stupid.
Yeah.
And Catherine is, of course, like, she's not going to run. She'll stay.
Yeah, she won't let anything happen to, like, the people that she loves. She won't let them get hurt. And so, yeah, so that kind of ends that conversation. And Klaus compels Catherine not to leave until he tells her that she can leave. Important distinction there. And then he leaves to go about whatever his evil plans will be for the day, which we'll see later. But yeah, so Catherine's just trapped in the apartment.
I know. I love that his evil plan is just, like, go mess with Jenna.
He's like, I've got nothing to do. I've got time to kill before, like, the full moon. So.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we have a day. Yeah. Might as well do something with Alaric's body.
Yeah,
I've
got everything I need, so whatever.
Yeah, so he just causes some chaos. But
yeah, might as well. On the other end of things, the people that need to kick it in gear fast and are working against the timeline is Elena and Elijah, of course.
Yeah.
So Elena is driving her car. She parks it on the side of the road. And we see Elijah is in the car with her. And he's drinking from a blood bag, looking a little bit more alive, a little bit more put together, despite the burnt clothing.
Yeah, they're literally charred to a crisp. Which
he probably woke up and was like, what the hell? Rude.
Yeah, he was probably like, they tried to burn my fucking body.
Yeah, they
like,
probably,
are you kidding me?
Yeah, he's like Armani's suit that they fried to a crisp for no reason, knowing Elijah. It's like, but yes, so Elena says that she's offering Elijah her help, and in return she wants his help. You know, they need each other. Like, that's why he hasn't killed her, because they are reliant on each other in order to, like, achieve the same goal of killing Klaus. And in this, like, scene, Elena's phone rings, and she decides to answer it. It's, of course, Stefan, who's like, where are you? And she tells him, like, she's with Elijah, and she needs time with him alone. Like, they need to be alone so that they can talk. And knowing that Elijah is sitting right next to her and listening to all of this, I feel like Elena's really saying things in this conversation.
Yes.
More so to say them to Elijah. More so that Elijah can hear her say this. And so she says to Stefan, Elijah is a noble man. He lives by a code of honor. I can trust him. He knows that I'd be incredibly stupid to try to betray him again. By removing the dagger, I have proven myself. That's her little, like, speech that she gives to Stefan, which I think, again, is obviously for Elijah's benefit. benefit to hear all of this. And again, yeah, it's like we were saying earlier of like, they totally get each other on how to play the game.
Yes.
They totally get each other on like how to level each other out, like honor and all. Like, they play by the same rules. It's very interesting. Stefan obviously protests this.
He's of course. Like, no. Of course.
But Elena says, it's my decision, Stefan. Mm-hmm. Please respect it and make sure that Damon doesn't do anything stupid.
Love that.
Which, love that.
Yeah, we didn't mention this, but Damon is literally right there in the same room with Stefan, and he's on the phone, and he can obviously hear everything that Elena is saying also with his vampiring.
Yeah, yeah. They're definitely all, like, at this phase of the story, they're all, like, listening on each other's calls, trying to keep up, yeah, to date. Like, the story's moving so fast for them and for us. Yeah. So everyone's trying to, like, stay in the loop together. But Elena just goes, I'll be in touch, and hangs up. I was like, she's wild. Lost it.
She's wild.
Like, her telling Stefan, please respect my decision on this is, like, so funny. I was like, I get where she's coming from of like, let me make my choices, it's, yeah, my life, blah blah blah, but I was like, respect my decision to hang out with this 1,000+ year old vampire and just trust him with my, yeah, life. Bye.
When we did kill him,
yeah, we, like, killed him twice ago. A, yeah, week ago. Yeah, she's so funny for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she you know, is in the car with Elijah still, obviously, and Elijah puts out his hand for, mm-hmm, Elena's phone, and she places her phone in his hand and gives it to him. Again, they understand the game. They know what is, like, expected of this partnership and how it, yeah, kind of has to go both ways. They're playing it the same way.
Yeah.
One last thing I have to say, which is relevant to the whole episode, but is Elena's jacket. She's wearing, like, this tan,
oh my God,
yeah, leather jacket, which looks to be the same one that she wears in season 1, episode 2, Night of the Comet.
Oh, and interesting.
I don't know if it is, but it looked very similar to, yeah, me. And I was like, I love when shows, especially, like, teen shows, mm-hmm, like, repeat clothing pieces because, like, that's what you do in real life. You don't have,
yeah, you don't just have an infinite outfits, wardrobe,
although we always try to wear a different outfit in, yeah, this show. But
I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point.
I know, I'm like, we're at 30 episodes. I've worn like every shirt I own. But yeah, like a jacket, especially, like, you're repeating jackets, you're repeating, oh, yeah, shoes, yeah, you're repeating jeans. Like, you know, like, you're not, yeah, you don't have infinite clothing. So I like when they repeat.
Yeah, but I do like that. I'll have to go and check out episode 2.
Yeah, yeah, that's, I think, cool. It's the same. I really think it is.
Yeah. It's a pretty, like, distinguishable jacket.
Yeah, it's not like, yeah, tan, like three-quarter, mid-quarter,
yeah, like sleeve. Yeah, the, like, ruched sleeve. Yeah, yeah,
it's very specific. So I think it's the same one. But yeah, I wanted to point that out because I thought it was fun.
Yeah, I like that. Good catch.
Yeah. And so that, obviously, that phone call takes us into the Salvatore house where, like, we saw them on the phone. Mm-hmm. And then that call ending, Damon is, like, obviously listening in, like, yeah, you said. And when Elena hangs up the phone, he's like, did she just hang up on you? Stefan's like, yeah. And Damon says, like I said, she's lost it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girl is lost.
Yeah, but Stefan is really good in this episode. Like, I really like him up until the last, like,
yep,
8 minutes or whatever it is. But yeah, Stefan is like, well, if anyone can get Elijah to help us, it's Elena, which he's, yeah, definitely right about. And Damon, of course, disagrees and says Bonnie is our best hope, like, he, yeah, Bonnie is our way to kill Elijah and Klaus. And Stefan says Elena is obviously looking for a way because she doesn't want Bonnie to die using, yeah, all of her power to kill Klaus. And they just go back and forth. Damon says Elena's way is going to get Elena killed, so it's Elena or Bonnie. Mm-hmm. And Damon is very adamant that they have to stop Elena.
Yeah, they have to go find her
now. They have to go find her. And Stefan tells Damon no, like, he needs to back off. And Damon, again, he's just disagreeing this whole time. Mm-hmm. And he actually tries to leave at this point, but Stefan grabs Damon and says, I said back off.
Ooh.
So aggressive. I do love when they give Stefan a little aggressive-ish moment.
I do too, but, like, obviously I love when the brothers are, like, getting along. So it's really hard in an episode like this where you're like, I know, ooh, things are tense. Like, they, yeah, kind of hate each other in this, yeah, episode.
I will say I usually love when they get along, but the later scene with them, I love. It's so tense, and I'm like,
that's so funny.
We'll get to it, but I yeah, don't know. I think they did, like, execute the tension well in this, yeah, episode.
It builds so much. Like we said, there's a lot of tension in this, yeah, scene, but this is the first scene of that. The first one, I guess, had it too with Andy. Then, yeah, it's just building and building and building and getting, like, worse throughout this whole episode. Yeah. So we'll get there, but for now, yeah, it's already there for sure.
Definitely.
And then Elena and Elijah, back to them in their car, obviously. Mm-hmm. Elena tells Elijah, like, she's catching him up. Klaus is there. He has taken over Alaric's body. Elijah's, yeah, like, of course, one of his favorite tricks.
We which I love.
Yeah.
Because they do keep doing that throughout the series. I think they do it in originals too.
Yeah, they do. I was like, that never changes. Yeah. He loves that
I
move.
I love that. It's so funny. It's so funny.
Honestly, if I could, I would just do it for a day. Just to be a jerk. Sure. Just to be funny about it. Be like, I'm in like a Lark's body today and I got to teach, I got to do the history exam so everyone can pass.
Like, yeah. I don't know. Oh, I got to ruin Jenna's life. Like,
yeah. Little funny things.
Yeah. Haha.
But yes, anyway, Elena asks Klaus, or asks Elijah, what Klaus will do next. She says, like, you're the only one that knows him, that knows, like, what he will do. Like, what do you think he'll do next? And that sends us, of course, into another flashback. This time Elijah is with Catherine and she's asking about their party host. This is at the same party, obviously, from before, and she's asking, like, where their party host is. And Elijah says, like, well, he likes to make an entrance. And then cue, of course, the iconic first appearance of Joseph Morgan.
I know, and I love the way they do it. They have Klaus like weaving through the crowd, and like
you can't see him.
Yeah, like at every turn he's like a little bit obscured, like you can just see like a little bit.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. And then they do like the big reveal where it opens up. Oh, it's so good. I love him.
I love it. And I love that this first time we're seeing Klaus is him in the 1400s as Lord Nick Klaus.
Yeah.
And like it really sets them up for like this kind of royal role that he fills in a way. Like he is this very noble, not in like a personality
like
noble,
noble
way, but like
he's
an aristocratic, like a powerful way.
Yes.
I think it's interesting to have shown this version of him first before his like modern you know version, his modern body, although of course we've seen him through Alaric, but this is different. This is his actual like body, his actual form. It's very impactful. And Klaus comes right up to them, to Catherine and Elijah, and he said, and Elijah says, Katerina, may I introduce you to the Lord Niklaus?
Yes.
And Klaus takes her hand, and he kisses it, and he says, call me Klaus. And then he smiles at her.
I love
it. I was like, he's so smooth with it. Like, if I were Catherine,
I'd
be like,
oh my God.
It's over.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, of course you can court me, you like highborn royal, like,
like, why not? What this is set up as at first, nobody's telling her she's gonna die. It's like this lord wants to court you, like,
Catherine's which like, sure, should be raising some red flags. She's like
a runaway,
she's
like orphan.
Like a, she's like an 18-year-old. I mean, I guess 18 back then. It's like whatever, but.
Still.
Yeah.
Yeah. She should have known. But she's beautiful. So she's probably like, any door.
Yeah, she's probably like,
in.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously.
Classic. Yeah.
Yeah. Should have known. But yeah, so the first Joseph Morgan appearance. I'm so
excited. I know.
I know. Love him so much. I'm just so excited.
I know. Me too. Also, I just love these 1492 flashbacks.
Yeah.
Catherine looks amazing. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we got Joseph Morgan for the first time. Like,
Even Elijah, I really like his like hair and the flashbacks and like his whole look. I just love them all.
I know. Me too.
My favorites. I was gonna say my not favorites, the Lockwoods, but they're not in the scene.
They're not just, even in the scene.
Well, they are
a little bit.
Yeah. So, although she's my favorite of my least favorite people,
yes.
I will say.
Yeah, yeah, Carol's fine.
So Elijah shows up on the Lockwood doorstep, burnt to a crisp, with Elena Gilbert in tow. Just casual Gilbert, like
random ass pairing. Obviously, Carol's like,
she's like, Elijah. But like we said, Carol answers the door and she's like kind of trying to brush them off because Elijah like asks for help or whatever. And she's like, I was about to go out like for lunch.
Yeah.
And he, of course, just jumps to compelling her to like let them in and to find him a change of clothing, which she's like, oh, I have like one of my husband's old suits upstairs. Like, I'll go get it for you. Mm-hmm. So when she leaves the room, Elijah tells Elena that he got Carol off of the vervain like right before she's like, he's like, right before you guys killed me.
Nice little like dig he got in there.
I like to bring that up every chance you get. I'm like, this kind of feels like an intentional manipulative thing in a way, like, because Elaine of course will feel guilty for it, so it's like very intentional that he's constantly bringing it up to be like, you killed me, you better feel bad about it. So interesting. So they've set that up there, that they're gonna, their their stakeout spot now is gonna be the Lockwood house. That's where they're gonna spend the day together. Then not so much part of the plan is Stefan gets a call from Jenna, who is looking for Elena and Jeremy, because she got home and she can't find them. She's calling, nobody's answering. And poor Jenna gets home. She like had to run away to college because she was mad at everybody, and then she finally gets home and nobody will talk to her. I was like, very nice of all of them.
Yeah, which also, why is Jeremy not answering the phone? I don't know if
he's
I really
with Bonnie, so oh, maybe there's yeah, no service at the witch house. Can't get through all the 100 dead witches.
They have the MiFi, FaceTimer, or like Skype with Jenna. I don't know.
Yeah, this is looking bad for our sponsors.
Yeah. Yeah, what's the truth? Yeah, do they have my phone or not?
They turned it off for a second just while Jenna was calling? Suspicious.
Yeah.
But anyway, she can't get any of them. And so Jenna is like confused because Elena had left her all of these messages saying like to avoid Alaric, like don't talk to Rick. And she's just like, what is going on? I was like, what could she possibly think is going on when
I have no idea
she gets these messages. I was like, I wouldn't even know how to begin to theorize of like, why do I need to stay away from Alaric? Like, and his dead wife is not dead. Like, is he a serial killer? Yeah. Like, what is going on here? Weird situation.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Jenna's telling all of this to Stefan, and he says, like, she was hoping you could stay on campus longer. And this is when she reveals, like, I can't do that from my kitchen. I'm already home.
Yeah, I'm already in the Gilbert house. Yeah, I'm at home. Yeah, and she's home because she's supposed to go meet Alaric at the grill, which Stefan is like, do not do that under any circumstance. Do not go meet Alaric at the grill. Like, just stay there. And Stefan is like, basically, like, I'll come over and I'll explain literally everything. Just don't go to the grill.
Yeah.
And they, Jenna and Stefan, hang up. And Damon, of course, is still there, still listening in on all of these phone calls. And Damon uses this opportunity, of course, to do a little bit more antagonizing.
Of course.
Damon, you know, looks at Stefan. He's like, oh, I'd love to help, but I wouldn't want to do anything stupid. Obviously, like what Elena said about him. And Stefan is just like, scoffs a little bit. And it's like, really? We're going to play this game? Like, come on. And Stefan just sort of leaves. And Damon says he's just like, you know, he's going to back off, whatever. And when Stefan leaves, Andy comes in. And Andy and Damon are like, okay, we're going. Like, Damon tells Andy, like, we're going rogue. We're breaking off from the team. We're going to go do our own thing.
Yeah, I love that. We're splitting from the team, going rogue. Yeah. And he's like, come on. Andy just goes.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, she's just no down. Questions. She's like, okay, sure.
Again, this is why we would be Andy.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, I'm just like, okay, sure.
But yeah, Damon is being such a big baby about this whole situation. I was like, what? I love him in general, but this is not a good arc for him.
This is a really bad Damon episode. Like, really, really terrible. And it's only getting worse.
Way worse. Yeah. But I do love Andy, and I do like the partnership with Andy.
I do too, yeah.
And this is one where it's, like, more positive. So I'm like, we can enjoy this while we can.
Yeah, yeah.
So back to Elena and Elijah, of course. They're now settled into the living room, catching up. Love that they sit in the formal living room. That's how Elijah coded. I was like, not in, like, the study where we usually see people. Like,
yeah, we never see this
room. Living room. Yes, yeah. Very Elijah coded. So they're catching up. You know, the Martins are dead. Catherine was released from her compulsion, obviously. Elena says they assume that Klaus killed her. And I love, of course, Elijah. He knows Klaus so well. And he's like, no, absolutely not.
There's no way that is
Klaus's style. And he says death would be too easy for her after what she did. And then Elijah says that his own reasons for wanting Catherine dead, like he has his, or not dead, he has his own reasons for wanting Catherine to pay for what she did. That was why he had kind of like put her in the tomb and whatever. And that there was such a time in his life where he would have done anything for Klaus. That, of course, sends us into another little flashback, this time continuing from like the earlier scene where, you know, Klaus had met Catherine, and they're just kind of talking about how she's from like Bulgaria, just socializing a little bit, and Klaus like takes her away from Elijah for a moment alone.
Which also I have to say, in the scene, like when they talk about Catherine being from Bulgaria, Klaus says hello to her again, like in Bulgarian, which one I love because it has like, it has Nina doing her little like giggle, and she's like, very good. She's just so charmed. I'm like, I love this. I think Nina just has chemistry with everyone.
She does. She really does.
But two, it's like the perfect callback to like the the hello that she says, or that Klaus says to Catherine when he's in Alaric's body. Yeah,
it's a nice good parallel. It's a nice connection. Also, I didn't think to mention this in any of the other flashbacks, but I love Catherine's look in this like flashback with curly hair pulled up, like this beautiful necklace.
The necklace is really beautiful. I noted that too. It's like a little like drop necklace.
Like a teardrop necklace of sorts. she just, I mean, she's gorgeous. Nina's beautiful.
Yeah.
But I love this look for Catherine. I think yeah. it's a really, really pretty one.
I know. I do love her, yeah, her 1492 look. And yeah. especially in the next yeah, the little next set one. Of flashbacks we get. But this
one's worth noting,
but this one's good, really too. Good. Yeah, definitely.
But anyway, so we get that little flashback. And then, of course, after this, we get the big shocking plot mm-hmm. twist that Klaus and Elijah are brothers.
Yep.
Because at the very end of that scene when Klaus was taking Elijah or Catherine away from Elijah, he says like happy birthday brother or something like
yeah.
that. He says brother at the end, which is then the reveal to Elena, like, yeah, Klaus is my brother, by
yeah.
the way.
Yeah.
And like Elena's obviously just shocked, she doesn't know how to react yeah. and Elijah says my favorite line,
classic,
he says, yes, I'm a little behind on the times, but I believe the term you're searching for is OMG. and then he has his teacup and he just takes a sip of tea.
I love him.
I love him so much. That's like the funniest thing he could have possibly said in that moment.
I know the line from anyone else would be kind of cringe, like, yeah, I would be like, why?
It's the delivery, the very precise like use of his accent and yeah. like the very precise delivery of it,
and then the sip of the tea,
yeah, yeah. No, so dry too, in a yeah. way that's like you could see how some people wouldn't even laugh at it because it's just so like flat. He just yeah, says it.
He just says it.
But that's what makes it so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I love Elijah. Everything he does babe. Is perfect.
Yeah, Elijah yeah. and Klaus, I'm like, yes, this is my dream part of the series.
Yeah, literal icons.
They really are. So speaking of icons, Catherine at home, she's at Lark's home.
At Lark, yeah.
Drinking, blasting music,
yeah.
dancing. She's just like enjoying her time. She's like sitting in a swivel chair, I think. Like,
yeah,
just
like spinning herself around. Yeah, yeah,
just bored as hell. but yep. making the best of it. Kind of failing. Klaus is kind of failing at the whole torturing Catherine thing.
I'm yeah, like, she's just having fun at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, just boring her to like into finding yeah. weird ways to entertain herself. Like, okay. But anyway, she hears someone coming. And we see, of course, that it's Andy and Damon.
Mm-hmm.
And Damon is telling Andy that they're doing some investigative journalism. Yeah. She's kind of like worried about being there. And he's like, we're investigative yeah. journalism. It's fine.
It's fine.
You're a journalist. Yeah. and so Andy knocks on the door. And she's like calling for Alaric. She's like, it's Andy Starr, Jenna's friend. And, you know, just in case, obviously, Klaus is there.
Yeah.
And Catherine, like, tries to grab the door we see from inside. But, like, her hand literally cannot touch the doorknob.
Yeah.
The invisible barrier is, like, preventing her from doing that. So she's trapped inside. She literally can't even open the door to talk to Damon and Andy.
Yeah.
So she kind of just, like, huffs and puffs and gives up and spins yeah. around. And Andy and Damon actually open the door. Andy waltzes right in.
Yeah, she's, like, goes in. I'm like, she's so brave.
I'm going to talk about this a few times throughout this yeah. episode. Damon literally compelling Andy to not be afraid of things, I think, has really affected her psyche. I think she's, like, not afraid of anything now.
It would seem like it. Yeah, she, like, walks in as soon as they get the door open. And, yeah, she's immediately like, oh, you look so much like Elena. Like, oh, yeah. my God, you were right, Damon. Like,
yeah, she wanders right fearless. Up to Catherine, looking her up and down, being like, you're right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this girl has lost all fear, all self-preservation. Yeah. Which will come up multiple times throughout this episode. But yeah, so Damon's like, he looks at Catherine. He's obviously stuck outside. He's never been invited into yeah. Alaric's apartment, so he just has to stay outside. And he says to Catherine, like, I thought you were dead. And she says, unfortunately not.
Yeah.
But then Catherine, and this is like cutting back and forth between other things, but we're going to condense it all. Catherine asks what they're doing there, mm-hmm. and Andy says, we're here to rescue you.
Yeah. And then, which Damon says, no, sweetie, we're here to see if she deserves to be rescued.
Love that.
Love that line.
Again, these two, the dynamic is so good. I just love them together.
I know.
And so he says he figured that Catherine would still be alive, like they had thought she was dead. But after Alaric Klaus blended in so easily,
yeah.
he... Like, you know, someone must have been telling him what to do and say.
Yeah.
Meaning Catherine was alive. And so Damon shows Catherine he has brought her vervain, which obviously won't undo any of the right. compulsion that Klaus has already done to her, but it will prevent any further compulsion. Right. But she has to, answer a question in order to get it. And it's about, like, Isabel and why she betrayed them. And they do the song and dance of betrayal and whatever.
Yeah. It doesn't add anything. I even see why Damon asked. Does it matter?
No, I was like, also, why would you even think she's going to, like, tell you the truth anyway? Yeah. Like, what's it matter?
My only thought was, I was like, maybe he did it to sort of rub it in her face, because he does say at the end, he's like, well, look where you ended up.
It's definitely rubbing it in her face.
It's just like a silly little thing to get to the point of rubbing it in her face.
It definitely is. And so he does give her the vervain, obviously. Yeah. And Damon tells Catherine when he gives it to her, you owe me and I will collect. Take notes,
Wow. He really did himself. He paid himself forward. He really did. Lucked out there. Yeah.
Catherine does not like having a debt, and she will make sure she pays it back. And we will see in a few episodes how she does. It's definitely a love when things like this, like, kind of set up something that's going to happen. Like, not the next episode, but like 4 episodes away. Like, we're several from like this getting paid off. I love when that happens. So yeah, a nice little like setup that. Catherine's got a debt to Damon. Yes. So, love Andy again. She's just wandering around Alaric's apartment during this conversation. She's just, like, looking around, looking at stuff. She doesn't care. She's just, like, vibing. Yeah. And Damon calls to her, like, let's go.
Yeah.
So she, like, follows after him. She's like, it was nice meeting you to Catherine. And she closes the door and they leave.
She's wild. Like, I love Andy, but she's...
Again, no fear. Damon compelled it all out of her.
No, I know. Yeah, the way she's just going along with this, I never thought about that. But yeah, I think, he wasn't specific enough. Like, don't be afraid related to me. Like,
I
think she
definitely removed, like, all of her fear. Like, I think that she's just, like, just, like, no fear robot. Yeah. He's just, like, she's taking just it not all even, away. Yeah. Which makes her great. She's fun to be around.
I know, she's so
I
fun.
I see why he did it, but I'm also, like, could have left some self-preservation skills.
Yeah, that would have been helpful, especially, later in the episode. But... yeah, for now, that's where Damon and Andy leave it with their little side quests. They're going rogue. Now we have Stefan going over to the Gilbert house to help out Jenna, like he said to her on the phone. And we just see, at first we just see Stefan arriving, and, you know, Jenna lets him in, and we see, like, you know, Stefan is trying to say, like, oh, I'll explain everything, blah, blah.
Thanks for not going to the grill to meet him.
Yeah, thanks for not going to the grill to see Alaric. And we see Jenna's not really saying anything. And then, you know, she sort of looks past Stefan, and Stefan turns to see Alaric is there.
Yeah.
Alaric / Klaus. Mm-hmm. Which, why would Jenna even let him inside? Not, like, invite him in, because obviously he's not, like, a vampire in that form. But, like,
I feel like why she didn't have a choice. I'm sure he just waltzed right in. I'm sure that there was, like...
What are you going to do?
Yeah, I'm sure it was, like, a situation where, like, there was really no way to turn him away. It's Klaus. He's going to be like, I'm coming in. I'm making this. Yeah. Like, you can't stop me.
Yeah, and it does seem like Jenna does want to talk to him. Because she's going to go meet him at the grill, so...
Well, yeah, the last time she saw him and Elena was when she... found out Isabel was still alive, so she's probably like, I'm gonna break up with you, but tell me why your dead wife is alive.
Yeah, that's true. She I think she does just want the answers, but.
So yeah, he's definitely taking advantage of her in that way. He pops out, he's like, hi Stefan, how's it going?
he's here to cause chaos. Klaus being bored, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but then we cut to this, like, a little bit later. We see, like, Klaus is the Alaric is there chopping up, like, some vegetable with, like, a big knife. Yeah, he's got a
huge knife.
Yeah, massive knife. He's talking about how much he loves chopping things, probably the way the knife feels in his hand.
Yeah.
He's just being, like, insane. Like, he's acting truly, like, psychotic.
It's enough that I think Jenna's a little, like, she's not running.
On edge.
Yeah, but she's not running for the hills or anything. It's just kind of like, this is weird, but, like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, I'll just, like, let this play out. It's definitely the most awkward situation ever. Like, it's just really weird. He starts bringing up, like, vampires and stuff. Like, he's obviously he's trying to mess with them. Like,
he's being crazy. He's like, oh, like, you know, I know I have a lot of secrets from you. Like, I've been keeping a lot of secrets. Well, one of my secrets is I'm obsessed with vampires.
I thought that was so funny. I didn't even really catch that he said that until, like, I'd watched a few times, and I was like, his secret is that he's obsessed with vampires. Jenna's like, thank God I got rid of this weirdo. Like, what the heck?
I'm like, this is that him saying that was his secret, like, that he's obsessed with vampires, is way worse than being like, oh, I lied to you about my dead wife.
Yeah, way worse.
He's just off the rails, which it's also funny because that kind of is Alaric's secret.
It is
obsessed with
it. Is his secret, actually.
But when Klaus just, like, drops it like that, you're like, oh my god, yeah, he's insane. But like, actually, no, it is Alaric's obsession.
Which is why Klaus said it, because yeah, it's true. I'm surprised he didn't just say, I'm a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is all so funny. And part of me was wondering too, I was like, is this because Klaus was so excited that he got alone time with his bestie, Stefan?
Probably.
Like, when he saw Stefan show up at the door, he's like, oh, perfect. Like,
yeah. He's like a little giddy, so he's like, just really going with the flow and using it.
He's like, we used to love playing games like this together. He'll love this. Like,
you don't know this yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably. But yeah, anyway. Klaus is being wild. He's saying he's obsessed with vampires, whatever.
Yeah. And he asks Stefan if he likes vampires. Yeah. Stefan's like, in literature.
Yeah, yeah. And Jenna is the whole time, she said it a couple times, like, throughout this whole speech about the vampires. She's like, what? Like, why are we talking about this? What does this have to do with anything? And yes, Stefan says, like, he
likes Bram Stoker.
Yeah, Bram Stoker. He also says it in, like, a little ASMR voice, which I liked. He has, like, a little whisper.
I thought that, too.
I think because he's, like, on edge. He's not really sure.
Yeah. But he's definitely going into, like, fight mode, where he's, like, he's ready. And Klaus is pushing it even further. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, like, I've read these Aztecs curse on the species. Oh, like, he's literally bringing up the sun and the moon curse.
Yeah.
And explaining that. And he's saying that there are creatures that would go so far to break that curse that they would kill anyone that gets in their way. And this is where Jenna is starting to look, like, a little more worried, where it's like, wait a second, like, you're not just being, like, a weirdo. This is feeling like a little, like, a threat. And obviously, Stefan is, like, that is directly a threat, because obviously the curse is real, and that's exactly what Klaus is doing here. So yeah, it's definitely just becoming, like, a funny, uncomfortable situation. It's becoming, like, a increasingly more dangerous one, like, very quickly. But they cut away and come back later, and somehow they've gotten as far as sitting down to actually have, like, their lunch. I'm like, don't know how we made it that far, but okay, glad we did.
And they're still on the van.
Yeah, they're still, he's, like, still wrapping it up. So, like, he's still going off about it.
Yeah, he's, like, wrapping it up by saying, like, yeah, so, I know this sounds crazy, but vampires are real. Like, how did we just get here? Did they just, like, go over, like, all the different, like, literature vampires or something?
I don't know. Or he just keeps bringing it up. Every time somebody else changes it, he's like, so vampires. I mean, this is us, to be real.
I mean, so, Vampire Diaries. I am Klaus in this moment, but, yeah, so he's dropping, you know, vampires are real. I know this sounds crazy, blah, blah, blah. And Jenna is, at this point, she's not having it. She's telling him, get out. And she doesn't know why he's saying any of this, like, or what his motive is in saying any of this, obviously. Because she probably doesn't even really believe him that vampires are real.
No, she doesn't.
And, you know, Jenna again tells him to go. And Klaus is sort of, like, you know, not making any move to go.
He's definitely ignoring.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to go. So Stefan stands up and tells him, like, you need to go. And Alaric says he doesn't want to. So, of course, Jenna is like, fine, I'll go. Like, that's how upset she is. Obviously, very upsetting for Jenna. And Klaus, like, picks up the kitchen knife off the counter and tells Jenna that she's not going anywhere. So Stefan sort of grabs him and, like, pushes him up against the wall. And somehow Stefan has gotten the knife.
Yeah.
And he's holding it up to
Alaric's human body. He takes him over pretty quickly.
Yeah, very quickly, very easily. Yeah, and Stefan just sort of vamp speeds him against the wall, and he has the knife to Alaric's throat. And Alaric, you know, he's like, you're not going to kill me. And Stefan says, watch me. And, like,
Jenna's standing there watching all of this.
She probably, like, missed it, because probably a very intense situation. But Stefan vamp speeded right in front of her. And now he shoves the knife, like, a little bit further into Alaric's neck when Stefan says the little watch me.
Yeah.
And Alaric actually does start bleeding. I only caught it, I feel like, this last time watching, or, like, a sort of recently. And Stefan is trying to tell Jenna, like, go. Like, you need to go. And Jenna still is, like, kind of standing there, and
she's like, Stefan, don't, like, she's like what is going on? Stefan's gonna, like, stab Alaric in the neck.
Yeah, this 17-year-old boy, which is what he's supposed to be.
So she's not moving.
No.
And so Stefan has to take extreme measures, and he literally does his vamp face, like, full, you know, veiny face, and he turns around and he yells at her, I said go.
Yeah,
which makes her finally, like, run out the door, like, literally just leave the house. She just runs.
She fully runs. And at this, Jenna's gone at this point. And then Klaus tells Stefan, oh, kill him. Like, kill me. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And but remind Elena how easy it will be for me to get revenge if she tries to stop the breaking of the curse.
Yeah.
And at this point, Stefan is fed up. He just, like, punches Lark in the face. And then once, like, Klaus is, slash Lark, is on the floor, Stefan, like, kicks him at vamp speed in the stomach. Like, they literally do, like, the vamp speed filter. Like, Stefan is kicking him.
When Lark woke up the next day, he was probably like, what happened?
I feel like shit.
Yeah.
I have a broken rib.
I'm internally bleeding, yeah.
But yeah, so and then Stefan just like throws the knife.
Yeah, he throws the knife and then he leaves. So you have to probably go chase down Jenna and be like,
also at vamp speed. So yeah, probably caught her in like a second.
But. Oh god, I can't even imagine how awkward that was.
Oh my god.
But yeah, so a lot just happened at the Gilbert
house.
Yeah,
that was wild,
insane. I cannot believe. I'm so mad that this was the way Jenna had to find out about all of this. Like. We've said it 1,000 times, so there's really no need to say it again, but it's just definitely like, Elena, you should have told her. I don't know, like, how else you could have learned this lesson, because there were a million steps. Isabel showing up at the door was not enough. This only proved how much worse it could be.
Yeah, so, the fact that Stefan has to be the one to, like, well, I guess not Stefan, but, like, Klaus was the one to make this big reveal, and, like, Stefan's the one
in a Lark's body.
I mean,
boyfriend's body.
Yeah. I'm like, it's not good.
Yeah, I just can't get over it. It's just awful, especially knowing what's going to happen in the next couple episodes for Jenna.
I know.
So we'll talk about Jenna a lot more in this episode too, and in the next ones. So that's where that ends for now. Going back to the Elena storyline with Elijah, Elena asks Elijah if there's a whole family of originals, because as we'd seen, the last thing she had learned was that they were brothers. That kind of changes, I think, the perception of what the original vampires even are. Yeah. So she asks if there's a whole family. And he explains, he says, like, you know, my father was a landowner and my mother bore 7 children. So we know that there are 7 original children. Mm-hmm. Presumably, obviously, they're not all vampires, but she doesn't know that.
Right.
And, you know, they're talking about how they were a human family and that there is a long vampire origin story that, like, he's not going to tell because it's a really long story. But he says, just know, we're the oldest vampires in the world. We are the original family. All vampires are created by us. Love that setup. Love that they, like, were concrete in deciding that in the scene. And obviously, again, sets us up for season 3. This is, like, beautiful setup for season 3 and, like, what's going to end up being that storyline as well as the originals, like, that show, if being honest. So I love that. And so, you know, Elena is pushing again for more answers. Like, you know, well, why would he want his own brother dead? Like, how could he want his actual brother to die? And Elijah says, like, I need some air. he's like
I still feel a tad dead. I need to get some air.
He's like, not answering that.
So
they cut away and come back, and they're outside, like, walking around and talking. They're, like, walking around, like, the, like, lake pond like thing that's in the backyard of, like, the Lockwood mansion, which I love whenever they set stuff, like, right there.
I know, I do love that location. It's fun.
It's so nice, which is funny because this is a very different look of it, because it's just, like, a regular day. They're just there, whereas usually we see it for, like, a big party or something. So it's funny to see it, like, during the daylight.
It's like, the Lockwoods do just have a lake on their property. I don't know.
So they're walking around the lake, and again, they're establishing, like, more vampire lore. Elijah's talking about balance and how the originals obviously have to be killed by some method. They've already seen that, like, fire doesn't work, regular wood doesn't work. You know, we've seen all these various ways that they've tried to kill them, and it hasn't killed them.
Especially in originals, we see all this stuff.
We see so many different ways that they cannot die, basically. Like the burning in the sun, and, like,
the werewolf bite
he mentions too. There is a way technically to kill them, but he does say, like, it was the white oak from the one specific tree which his family did burn down. So there is no actual way to kill them now. Like, they saw to that. It's only the dagger, which the dagger doesn't work on Klaus because silver, werewolf's heal. And so he says, like, the witches won't allow anything truly immortal to walk the earth. Every creature needs to have a weakness in order to maintain that balance. I always really liked this line and this idea. I think it's kind of like the thing I said before about, like, kind of having to have those checks and balances within your story to make it make sense. It, like, makes sense to build those checks and balances into the world itself in terms of the way that, like, magic works, to be like, this is how things have to function. There has to be a way for everything to die. So, yeah, so this is where Elena asks, like, if the sun can't kill an original, then why does Klaus even care about breaking the sun and the moon curse? Like, if it doesn't even kill him, why would he want it to break? And Elijah says, right, the curse of the sun and the moon. He's so funny.
He is, yeah.
My favorite line, he's like, it's also biblical sounding, don't you think?
Yeah.
And he's kind of just like smirking and he's like walking away. And Elena's like, what's so funny?
Yeah.
And we go into another flashback, of course. It's always with the flashbacks. And so, again, in the 1400s, we see Elijah and Klaus, and they're looking at these parchments, and it's of the sun and the moon curse, and they start talking about it and reveal through this conversation mm-hmm. that they planted, like, all of these, like, versions of the curse. Like, Klaus was the one that drew the Aztec drawings that they looked back way back in whatever episode at the start of the season.
Yeah.
And, you know, he did like Roman scrolls and etchings mm-hmm. in like Africa. And he had created all of these places to plant the curse. It was all orchestrated by Elijah and Klaus.
Yep.
And so we see modern day. Elijah's, of course, telling Elena all of this, that Klaus drew those things and he created all of these ways to plant it. And he says, any culture, any continent, mm-hmm. anywhere that we could put the legend, we did. And he says, like, the easiest way to find a long-lost moonstone or, like, a rare doppelganger was to have everyone on the lookout for them. Like, just to have everybody in two different species looking for them.
Brilliant.
They're so brilliant. And so this is where Elijah finally drops the big mic drop. One of three big mic drops in this episode.
Yeah.
After the brother one now is, the sun and the moon curse is fake.
Yeah, because Elena's like, oh, it's not Aztec. And Elijah's like, he just kind of smirks himself and he's like, basically, it's not even real. Not only is it not Aztec, it's not even real.
Yeah, he literally says it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, again, mic drop. Like, what? The first time watching this was wild.
Oh, my God, yeah.
The reveal that they were brothers, insane. Now the reveal that the Sun and the Moon curse isn't even a real curse is hilarious. It's insane. Yeah,
wild. Being thrown for a loop in this episode.
Yeah, it's such a good one. And so we cut away from that, of course, because it's such a big dramatic moment. But we do come back to this, like, conversation later. And Elena is asking, like, well, then what is the actual curse? Clearly, there's an actual curse. And Elijah says there is a curse. It's placed just on Klaus himself. That's why Klaus cares mm-hmm. to break it. And that Elena is Klaus's only hope at breaking that curse. And Elena, throughout this conversation, her phone is just going off and going off and going off. And so Elijah finally hands it to her and is like, your phone won't stop. And she answers it. And it's Stefan, who, of course, is letting her know what happened with Jenna mm-hmm. earlier, obviously, with Alaric, Klaus, trying to, I don't know, just cause problems.
Yeah, just cause chaos.
And so Elena tells Elijah, like, I have to go to her, like, you know, I give you my word, I will come back. Like, I have to go to her, she's my family. And Elijah says, that doesn't mean anything to me until you live up to it.
Yeah.
But he lets her go.
Which I love. This is the example I was thinking of when I was saying earlier, like, they just get each other in a way, because Elijah never says, like, oh, you prove to me that your word is worth something by returning.
Yeah.
He just says, doesn't mean anything until you prove it to me. But Elena reads between the lines, and she understands that means, okay, go, but you have to come back for him to even trust you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love their dynamic.
I do, too. But see, I was also thinking about this. I was like, this kind of feels like a red flag to me that Elena should have caught, which is, I almost wonder if the thing that got to Elijah here was that Elena wanted to go because she specifically called out, she's my family, which we know, obviously, family to Elijah
is everything.
Everything. And I was like, I wonder if that appeal towards caring about your family was what really got him to kind of let her go and, like, prove herself in that way. Because I agree, there was also the element, of course, of prove yourself and then we're good. But I'm like, ooh, Elena, if you would have noticed that he cares so much about family, this would have, like, saved you in the future, which is not something right now that she's paying any attention to. I'm like,
I know.
I'm shocked, honestly, how much she overlooks the brother thing.
I know. I'm always so surprised that, like, this is dropped and then it's not really mentioned as, like, a potential red flag until things are about to go down and Stefan asks, he asks Elijah, like, are you sure you can do this? Like, I've tried to kill my brother before.
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have asked that, like, soon as the reveal was made? Like,
No, okay. I think this was such a thing, too, where it's like, Yeah, I feel like if I were her, I wouldn't have dropped the family thing, because it shouldn't mean anything to him if he's trying to actively kill his brother.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a weird moment. And also, again, Elena's word means nothing. Let's be real. The girl has backstabbed him already.
Yeah.
And continues to mostly throughout the show. I'm like, her word isn't as bad as Damon's, but it's nowhere near the caliber of Elijah's as much as she likes to kind of play that it is and pretend that it is.
Yeah.
So just funny dynamic there. But that ends this, obviously, because she is going to go check on Jenna, which, of course, sends us into another 1400s flashback.
Yeah.
Where Elijah and Catherine are outside the mansion running around laughing. Catherine will always find some man to chase her through a garden.
I know. I was like, this is giving literally the 1864 flashback.
Exactly. Yeah. With Stefan and Damon running through their garden.
Yeah.
I was like, she's so silly for that.
I know. I'm like, she's wild. She's just reusing this move on every single male.
Do you think Mason Lockwood ever had to chase her through the gardens of Florida?
Like through the Everglades or whatever. Yeah,
I can picture it, honestly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, she definitely uses this.
She definitely does.
Yeah. And this is the scene that I was talking about earlier where Catherine is wearing this, like, beautiful green dress.
Yeah.
It ties up the front. It's got the beautiful, like, I don't know, they're like sleeves. That are sort long, of angled. Yeah. They're sort of like billowy. I don't know. They look beautiful. She looks amazing. Let's bring back dressing like this because it's everything. She looks so good. And she still has the hair and everything. Mm-hmm. And Elijah, like, starts running after her because Catherine tells Elijah to chase her. Mm-hmm. And Elijah starts running, but then he stops. And Catherine sort of laughs at Elijah and is like, you have to catch me. And then Elijah says, but if I catch you, the game will be over. Oh my god, their chemistry.
I love them.
I'm screaming, crying, throwing up watching this. Oh my god, I love them so much. I'm glad they do the little relationship sort of thing with Elijah and Catherine, since they don't have the opportunity to do it with Elena.
Yeah, that's like, true. Yeah, like, you gotta use that chemistry somewhere. Yeah,
I'm glad they still capitalized on this. But anyway, they're sort of playing around, and Catherine thanks Elijah for keeping him company and entertaining her. And Elijah, again, playing with her, is like, oh, well, you looked lonely, so I took pity on you.
Yeah.
And she sort of gives him, like, a playful sort of, like, I can't believe you would say that to me look. And she sits down on this bench that's in the garden. And Catherine starts telling Elijah that Klaus didn't, like, he promised to spend the day with her, but he never returned from the night. And Elijah says, Klaus lives only by his own rules. Like, he just does his own thing.
Yeah.
And Catherine says, you know, he's very charming, Klaus is, and it's probably hard for anyone to resist. And Elijah sort of picks up on, and yet, like, because clearly, you know, Catherine doesn't really, she's not fully, like, in love with him or anything. And Catherine says, you know, I don't know why Klaus courts me, because he doesn't seem to care about me at all, which, again, should have been a little bit of a, I don't know, not a red flag, but it should have made you think a little bit, Catherine.
Yeah.
But Elijah says, and I think this is a good point, especially in this time, like, many unions are built on less. And Catherine asks him if it's so wrong to want more. And at this point, Elijah sits down with her and he's asking her about Trevor, because I guess they also are sort of involved. Trevor's in love with her. Yeah, Trevor's in love with Catherine. And she says here, basically, that she's not also in love with him.
Yeah, she says love is something that should be returned, which I really liked.
Yes, and Catherine asks Elijah, like, how he feels about love, what he thinks. And Elijah looks really, like, pained for a moment, and, like, he pauses for a little beat. And then he says he doesn't believe in love. Sad. I don't know. And at this point, Catherine says, that is too sad for me to even accept. Like, life is too cruel. If we don't have love, like, if we don't believe in love anymore, why would we want to live? Which, I'm like, this is not the Catherine, like, of 1864, of 2012, or whatever it is of this year. I'm like, this is another episode where I'm very sympathetic to Catherine. I'm like, oh, she was a human girl, like,
who had to change. And, like, it's kind of like we've talked about with the humans in this show, where it's, or the newly turned vampire werewolves, they've had to harden. They've had to like really change because of the things they're going through, and that clearly happened to Catherine. I was actually thinking this episode, she reminds me of Lexi, just like talking about, like,
so
love.
Romantic.
And Lexi got to stay that way, but Catherine didn't, because of the things that obviously happened to her.
Yeah.
Within days of this scene, obviously.
Yeah. Not long after this little scene.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's just so, yeah, so romantic, such a moment. And then, of course, Klaus rolls in, classic.
Yeah, covered in blood.
Covered in blood, wearing the most weirdly modern leather jacket. I was like, they barely tried to get a 1400s jacket for him, but okay.
I know.
I think it was because they, like, had it unbuttoned, which just looked, it didn't look like the era.
Yeah.
But it was just so funny. And Elijah, like, asks him about him being covered in blood. And Klaus says, the wrong villager picked a fight at the tavern. I was like, love him. That's so funny. Like, the quickest lie ever. That's definitely not true.
Yeah, no.
And then he, like, takes Catherine and, like, leaves with her. And Catherine and Elijah are kind of sharing glances as she's, like, walking away. It's very, lots of setup There's something there.
Yeah.
There's definitely something there. Back to reality. Stefan obviously has taken Jenna to the Salvatore house, and Elena has finally shown up to see Jenna, who is just shell-shocked and crying. Yeah. Elena immediately starts apologizing to her and saying that, like, she thought that Jenna would be safer by just not knowing these things. Like, if she just didn't tell her, that would protect her, which we've talked about 1,000 times, how that's just silly. And Jenna asks, like, who else knows? Literally everyone. Literally everybody knows. She's like, Jeremy, John, girl, everyone knows.
We all know. We all know.
Poor Jenna. This really sucks. And Elena.
Even Matt knows at this point.
Even Matt knows. Poor Jenna. Everyone knows. And Elena, like, realizes how bad this sucks. And, like, she says, like, I'll tell you everything now. But Jenna is like, can't deal with this information. This was, like, way too much for her. And so she's just saying, like, why didn't you tell me already? And, yeah, why didn't you tell her, Elena? This is the question we've been asking for weeks. And so instead of just, like, telling her, like, the truth, Elena has let her find out in this most traumatizing way possible. Like, literally, like, this was the thing you risked by not telling her. I don't know how Elena didn't realize that, but, like, I don't know. She's 17. I guess we'll just chalk it up to being 17 and thinking you know the best you really don't.
Yeah.
And so Jenna is, like, really starting to cry at this point, and Elena just starts to hold her because clearly, again, there's just no, like, there's no conversation to be had right now. She just needs to comfort her at this point to deal with the fact that, like, her world is different than she thought. Like, this is, like, such a realization. And we cut away from them, you know, having their emotional moment to see Stefan standing outside the door in the hallway. He's just, like, standing there clearly listening and is crying.
Yeah.
And you just know he feels so guilty. Like, he feels like he definitely thinks it's his fault, which it's not.
I know. Like, this is until the last few minutes. This is such a good Stefan episode. I'm like, I love him for just being so sympathetic to this little Jenna situation.
I know. I love Stefan in this story arc. I love him, like, standing up for Elena.
Yeah. He stood up for Jenna when Alaric / Klaus, like, wouldn't leave.
It's a great Stefan,
it's a good Stefan episode
for now,
mostly.
But yeah, you just feel so bad for Stefan in that moment. Later, we see Elena goes out into the hallway, and she asks Stefan asks her, like, is Jenna okay? Like, clearly he's been, like, standing there waiting for however long they've been together just to be like, is she okay? She's not, but
she's definitely not. No,
she will be, I guess.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so he's, like, comforting Elena. Obviously, she feels really guilty. It's the classic Stelena of, like, they both will always take the blame for everything and feel guilty for everything. And they're both, like, apologizing to each other.
Well, Elena should feel a little guilty.
Elena definitely should.
In this scene, I was like, Stefan insinuates it's his fault. And Elena says, no, it's mine. I was like, finally.
Yeah.
Some responsibility being taken here.
Yeah, it's definitely Elena's fault.
Yeah.
But whatever. It's still just, like, their classic, like, being emotional. And I love the score that's, like, playing during this scene. There's, like, a specific score played in this song and in the next one that's very, like, tragic in a way. It's very emotional. It kind of reminds me of Beauty and the Beast for some reason. I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about.
I don't think I do off the top of my head.
Go listen to this part of the episode. I really liked the score. It like helped support this moment in a way that the song felt unique. I hadn't heard it really in any other parts, so I really liked that. But then, of course, Elena, like, says she needs to go back to Elijah now. Like, she promised him, so she needs to go back. And Stefan, we'll see. Stefan and Damon have very distinctly different reactions to this that are very interesting to compare and talk about here. Because, of course, Stefan, like, protests at first. He's like, what? No, like, you can't. But Elena says, like, I promised him I have to go. And he, like, looks really upset, but, like, he slowly, like, he starts to nod his head and is, like, accepting it. Because, of course, he realizes to her, like, a promise means everything. Like, he can't, like, stand in her way in that. And he has to let her do what she wants to do. Again, love Stefan here. Then Damon arrives.
Yeah, especially when contrasted.
Yes, yeah. Especially when contrasted with Damon, especially in this moment. Damon literally grabs her arm when he realizes that she's leaving to go see Elijah again. He's like, we just got her back. She can't go. Not good.
I don't love that. Yeah, no.
And he literally like stops her from leaving by saying, if you so much and try and take a step out of this house. And even Andy is like, Damon, like,
yeah, she tries to talk him down. Damon. Yeah.
And love Andy. Yeah, love Andy. Of course, he's doing nothing though. And so Stefan has to step in and he grabs Damon back and says, let her go. Mm-hmm. And again, the score switches up. That sweet romantic score has now switched into like a very dramatic, and the cameras are like getting all that dramatic like mm-hmm. angles and things. And yeah, Stefan again is like, let her go. And Damon says, that's twice today you've stood in my way. I wouldn't try a third.
Damon, he is being drama king in this episode.
I would say he's drama baby.
Yeah, drama baby. Big
baby. He doesn't deserve the king title this episode.
Yeah, no, this is not the episode for any Damon stans. No, sorry.
It's a bad look. I do think it's a big growth episode for him. We'll talk about that as we go, this arc in general. Yeah. But the growth doesn't hit in this episode, so we'll have to wait for that.
Yeah.
But for now, it's just not good. That's kind of where we're at. It's just, like, not good.
Yeah. But On a little brighter note, like having a way better episode.
Yes.
Catherine is still in Alaric's apartment, mm-hmm. just playing loud music. Because she was kind of dancing around before. But now she clearly has like a new lease on life now that she has the vervain. Yeah, she's partying. She is drinking, chugging a bottle of bourbon, dancing around to an amazing song. She's mm-hmm. having the most fun. Like, I love all of her music too. Yeah. Catherine gets the best music.
Yeah. And this is the vibe I'm trying to emulate.
Yeah, always. Just trying to dance around, having fun. Mm-hmm. And suddenly she hears like someone knocking at the door, obviously. Or like coming into the door, not knocking. Into the door, it's obviously Klaus / Alaric. So she like vamp speeds and sort of like sits like very straight, like on the couch. Like she hasn't been just like dancing around anything. All day. Yeah, yeah. Even though the music is blasting, which Alaric comes in and he's like, can you turn that down? And mm-hmm. she takes the remote and sort of turns down the music. And Catherine asks Alaric why he's so grumpy. And Klaus says Alaric's body has outlived its usefulness.
Yeah.
And, you know, Catherine at this point is trying to get him to take a drink.
She's switching into flirty mode.
Yeah, she's being kind of flirty, trying to have a little fun. But Klaus takes the bottle of bourbon and throws it against the wall and tells her that he wants her to sit down and shut up. And he, like, compels her. But, of course, she has the vervain. But mm-hmm. she goes and sits down anyway and shuts up because, obviously, she can't let on. She has the vervain. And when she sits down, Maddox arrives with, like, the luggage, like, a bunch of people bringing in luggage. And then a woman comes in behind Maddox. And Klaus is like, hello, Greta. And Greta asks, like, if Klaus is ready to get out of Alaric's body. And then at the same time, like, two men are wheeling in a body-sized, like, leather suitcase thing. Mm-hmm. So Klaus is about to actually be Joseph Morgan.
Yeah, officially, Klaus's real body has arrived. So excited for that.
I know.
Then, back at the Lockwoods, Elena has arrived again. She kept her promise to Elijah. He's just standing by the fire drinking wine, which I was like, love him. Vibe. That's so him. If I were Elena, I would also ditch the fighting Salvatore to hang out with Elijah.
Let them have their baby games. Yeah.
Yeah, let them just beat each other up. I'll just hang out with Elijah and drink some wine.
Yeah, and also Elijah seems so like happy that Elena came back. He's like smiling. He's like, welcome back.
Finally, somebody with some honor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love it. And Elena gets straight to the point. She's like straight to it. She asks Elijah, what is Klaus's curse? Picking up right where they left off. Mm-hmm. And Elijah just goes straight back into the story too. He's like, okay. And he tells her that Klaus's father was a different father, that their mother had had, you know, a lover, and that it had been revealed that he was from a different bloodline. And this, you know, their father they were raised with, Elijah's father, had hunted down his mother's lover and had killed him and his entire family, which had started a war between the species, a war between vampires and werewolves, which obviously clues us all in and Elena in to the big reveal, the third big reveal of the episode.
Yeah,
Klaus had a werewolf father, meaning that he is both a werewolf and a vampire. Again, third mic drop, big reveal of the episode.
Crazy.
This episode was so insane on a first watch. I'm just
oh my god, I know
the way your brain is exploding with just like Klaus and Elijah are brothers. The sun and the moon curse is fake. Klaus is a werewolf also. It's just like such a wild buildup and such a good buildup of all the things that have happened throughout season two. It's like such a satisfying payoff. Now it makes sense why the werewolves had to be such a big part of the story.
Yeah.
So Elijah is explaining further. He says, you know, yes, at one point he had helped Klaus with all of this. He had been trying to help Klaus break that curse because he had loved him. But that's that's changed. Now he must die. I was like, this feels like a memeable moment. We're going to have to find a way to use that audio because, like, I helped him because I loved him. That's changed. Now he must die.
It reminds me of, which actually is also in this episode, at least part of it, is I will always protect Elena. Yeah. I'm on my way to kill Elena. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, it's just a perfect audio. We're going to have to use it somewhere. Definitely. But yes, he's also saying, like, Klaus wants to sire his own bloodline. That's Klaus's goal. Mm-hmm. Again, perfect setup for season three. That's literally what Klaus is doing all of season three. And, you know, they get to the point, obviously, that the only way to actually kill Klaus is with a witch. A witch, you know, can balance out nature. That is the one thing that will kill an original. And he's, you know, explaining that when Klaus is in his transition, he'll be at his most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And Elena reveals she happens to know a witch that can channel that much power. She happens to have somebody on deck. And so Elijah says, well, then I will tell you, there's one more thing you need to know, you know, to go along with all of this. Mm-hmm. And we cut to our last, like, 1400s flashback where Klaus and Elijah are prepping for the Catherine sacrifice, and Elijah reveals to Klaus that he found a way to spare the doppelganger. Mm-hmm. He had been working with the witches, and he found an elixir that could actually save the doppelganger's life. And Klaus is like, who cares?
Yeah. He's like, LOL, so, like,
yeah,
what?
Why?
Why were you even doing this?
He's like, bro, you wasted your time.
Yeah.
He literally says, he's like, she's human. Like, who cares if she lives or dies? Like, what does her life matter? And Elijah kind of rolls his eyes. Like, he's obviously, like, so over Klaus, even in this point.
Yeah.
And, like, Klaus says, love is a vampire's greatest weakness, and we are not weak, Elijah. Mm-hmm. We do not feel, and we do not care. Such a good setup, I think, you know, with that earlier 1400 scene of Elijah versus this scene of Klaus talking about love. Because Elijah said in the earlier one that he doesn't believe in love, but it's like you could see in his eyes that he wanted to listen to Catherine and that he was very entranced by what she was saying about love.
Yeah.
And to, like, see that this is sort of the rhetoric that he's been surrounded by. It's an interesting contrast. It makes a lot of sense. And you kind of can see how maybe he would have come to hate Klaus and want him dead.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what Elena's chalking it up to. I'm not sure. But it's very interesting. We, of course, go back to the Lockwoods, to the present day. And, you know, I just had to wonder why Elijah didn't reveal any of this sooner to Elena, that she wouldn't die, that there was an elixir to save her life. I would have come out the gate with that.
Yeah, I had the same question. That was really the only, like, big thing of note I took away from this. I was like, why is this just coming out now? Wouldn't you have, like, the first time you met Elena, wouldn't you be like, oh, by the way, I know how to save your life. You don't actually have to die.
Yeah, so there's no reason to fight me. It's weird. I don't know. I guess it's, like, in an effort to try to build, like, a partnership, to try to, like, build a connection there rather than giving her any opportunity to, I don't know. It's very weird. But yes, Elena realizes while they're talking about this that he went to those lengths for Catherine to find that. And she says, like, you cared about Catherine, didn't you? And he says, it's a common mistake, I'm told.
I love that.
And then he says, and one I won't make again.
Yes.
Clearly saying to Elena, like, you know, I like you maybe. Like, you're cool. Mm-hmm. But only so far. I'm not going to let you get away with what Catherine got away with. Like,
of course.
He's definitely, like, setting up a barrier there. And I love this moment too, because he, like, gets her jacket for her. It's kind of like an agreement of, like, we've come to the end of this journey. It's time to, like, go back to the house and, like, pull the team together. And he, like, grabs her jacket and, like, dusts it off. And, like,
yeah, he, like, like, creases it a little bit. Yeah, it's really
so
funny.
Cute.
It's very Elijah.
Yeah, so delicate, so proper.
Yeah.
And again, a clear invitation of, like, let's go get your boys now. Like, let's get the team.
We're all together. We're on the same page.
Yep.
Let's get everyone else on the same page.
Exactly. Of, like, let's go into the next phase of the story. Yeah. They've been talking all day. They're all set up to go. So, of course, we'll go back to the Salvatore house first to see how the boys have been faring without Elena there again.
Not well.
Yeah, Damon's pissed.
Yeah, we see, like, Damon is with Andy in the library. Damon is very clearly, like, brooding, not happy, mad.
Yeah.
Andy is trying to tell him not to be mad at Stefan. He's just trying to save Elena, and Damon tells Andy to go, and they sort of argue a little bit. She doesn't really want to go, But eventually Andy leaves, and Stefan comes in and asks Damon if he's done with his plaything already. Damon obviously doesn't take that well. He says he's just looking for a distraction. And Stefan at this point, which again, I was like, a lot of good Stefan moments. He points out Andy is a person and Damon is victimizing her. And Damon at this point tells Stefan he should be thankful that Andy is here because it keeps him, Damon, from going what he really wants.
Ooh.
You can see, like, Ian's facial acting in this episode is good. Amazing. You can see Damon is looking for a fight. Like, he is trying to, like, goad Stefan and pick a fight. Like, he's having a bad day and he wants to fight.
Yeah.
So good.
And Stefan's, like, the only one that I think he's, like, willing to fight with because, first of all, if you have a sibling, you know, they're the best to fight with because your siblings, you'll be fine. Yeah,
at the end of the day, it'll be fine.
And also the whole vampire factor, too, of, like, he can fight Stefan and be fine.
Andy, yeah, exactly.
Elena, they're not going to survive.
It's not going to be, fight with Damon. It's not going to work.
So, yeah, the Salvatore tension is fully back, fully in swing. We're, like, where we were at the start of season one at this point. And Stefan goes right for it. He takes the bait, basically. And he's like, you're right. Thank you for being in love with my girlfriend.
Yeah, which he has a point.
He has a point. And so, like, they both stand up at that point. Again, clearly they're both gearing up for a fight. They're both, like, ready. And Stefan takes it a step further with, you can be in love with Elena all you want if it means that you'll protect her. But I have the one thing that you'll never have. Her respect.
Oh my god. I was like, Stefan, come on.
That was a little evil of him. That was a
really low blow. Like, I do feel like Stefan was also kind of looking for a fight here.
He was.
Damon is very clearly not in a good place. I feel like I would not have probably said that. I wouldn't have goaded
that on. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, such a low blow. It would have been one thing to say, like, her love or something like that to be like, she's in love with me, but her respect, that was low. That was brutal.
That hurt. Yeah,
that definitely hurt. And so Damon literally punches Stefan in the face. He punches him so hard that Stefan flies across the room into a bookshelf, breaking shelves. That's how hard Damon punches him because of that, which is wild.
Stefan
obviously charges back at him, runs at him to get him for that. And they kind of just, like, have each other's arms, like, on their shoulders. They're just, like, and the cameras are, like, shaking aggressively. Yeah. Like,
yeah, like, building. They're really doing something there. Yeah,
they're just holding each other's shoulders, basically. Yeah. But, yes, the intense moment is, like, building and building. What's going to happen? They're going to fight more. And then Elena and Elijah walk in the room to just have to witness all of this, which is really funny. And so Elena, of course, yells out, stop, and they stop.
Yeah.
And are shocked, and they look at the two of them. And it zooms in on Elijah.
Yeah.
Elijah watching both of them. And it sends us into another little 1400s flashback.
Yeah.
Which is Klaus and Elijah kind of beefing over Catherine, like, right after she had disappeared from the sacrifice in the 1400s. Klaus accuses Elijah of, like, doing something, of letting her go, because clearly Elijah cared for her. And Elijah's like, I didn't do that. Like, I wouldn't have done that. Like, I'll find her for you. I'll do whatever it takes. I promise you. I give you my word.
Of course.
Again, it's, like, really hitting on these themes that have kind of been throughout the episode for Elijah.
Yeah.
So then back to the present day. Elena says that she has renewed her deal with Elijah.
Of course. Yeah. And Elijah tells them that they, like, he tells Damon and Stefan, like, you will not come to harm at my hands if you do this one thing for me. And Damon's like, what? And Elijah's like, apologize. Like, you owe me an apology, basically. Yeah. Which Damon, again, is like, what? And Stefan, of course, being Stefan, this is where I immediately turned my back on him. I'm no longer a Stefan fan. Stefan just immediately is like, I'm so sorry for the part I played in your death. I was just protecting Elena. I will always protect Elena.
Ugh, I've always hated that.
I hate this. I'm pretty sure Damon says this exact same quote, like, maybe not last episode, but the episode before, something like that.
The very last one, he said, I will always choose Elena.
Yeah.
Which feels so similar, and he has been giving this exact rhetoric the last two episodes of saying, like,
it's not good.
I will always choose Elena. I will always protect Elena. I'm always going to do what's going to, for Elena. And something about Stefan saying this in this way to Elijah and to Elena feels like throwing it back in Damon's face.
Oh, absolutely. And Damon, like, picks up on that. Damon, like, looks at him, and he is very clearly pissed. He's, like, shaking his head and scowling.
Yeah.
Again, the facial acting is amazing here.
Yeah.
And Elijah tells Stefan that he understands his part in his death. And then at this point, everyone looks to Damon.
You're waiting. Like waiting. Your turn.
Waiting for Damon's apology. And, you know, Damon doesn't say anything. So Elena jumps in and says, the sacrifice is going to happen. Bonnie won't have to die, which they didn't really say, but it's implied. And Elijah actually knows the way to save Elena's life, too. So it's a win-win-win. And Damon asks if this is all true. And Elijah says yes. And Damon asks Elena if she really trusts Elijah, and she says she does. And Damon just says, you can all go to hell. And he
leaves. Yeah.
Classic Damon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not looking
no
good.
No attempted apology ever.
Yeah, no. He will never apologize for anything.
This is like we were saying. This is where I've hated Damon all episode and loved Stefan, and in this exact scene, it really flips.
It flips. It does
flip.
Where
you're like, he is at his, like, he's clearly so upset. He doesn't understand how to control his emotions at all, and he's lashing out, which is bad and not fair. But
yeah.
You don't have to throw it in his face, Stefan. You don't have to take the bait.
Yeah,
you don't have
to,
like, it's just not, it's not great on Stefan for me here, but.
Yeah.
It's only going to get worse for Damon as we go into, like, a later
scene.
Oh,
my God.
Damon's in his bedroom, and he's, like, starting to take his shirt off or, like, unbutton his shirt. When poor Andy, who never actually left, decides to reappear in lingerie, just trying to make Damon happy, just trying to be there for him. Mm-hmm. And, again, have to say, like we talked about earlier, Damon compelled way too much of her fear away. He has completely removed her, like, fight or flight. He has completely removed her self-preservation. The fact that she put herself in this situation says how badly he's compelled her.
Yeah.
That she would even be, allow herself to be in the room when he's acting like this. But, yeah, she goes right in, and she says, like, she's still here because he didn't compel her. And, you know, she says, like, he says, I'm upset. You need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
I think recognizing that he's not in control of himself, but also not being super clear about that. He just says he's upset and she needs to leave. And she says, like, you need to know that someone cares about you. I care about you, Damon. And he's clearly, like, struggling with himself for a minute when she says that. And then he bites her. He just goes, like, and attacks her. And she screams.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not being, like, gentle about it. It's not, like, the sexy bathtub moment.
Oh, my God.
Beating on her.
Yeah, no. Definitely nothing like that. Yeah.
She, like, falls to the ground.
Yeah. Well, he, like, sort of throws her to the floor, it feels like.
Yeah,
and then
he does throw her.
Yeah. She obviously starts crying. This is terrible, upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
And Damon has a moment where he sort of seems regretful. And then he, like, gets down on the floor next to her. And compels her to leave before he kills her. Again, at least he's sort of acknowledging
he's
the situation.
He's aware that he has no control of himself.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean he's not going to act like
the way
that he wants to act.
And then he gets in her. He's still compelling her, and he screams at her to go and go. And Andy, like, grabs her clothes. She doesn't even get a chance to get dressed. She just grabs her clothes. And she sort of looks back at him. And Damon is tearing up at this point.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Andy just sort of leaves.
Yeah,
it's not a great scene. I can barely watch it. It's
I know. I don't.
Terrible.
It's not a scene I like to rewatch. Obviously, as a Damon fan and an apologist.
Yeah, yeah. The apologist can only go so far.
It's hard because I do think this is such, like, a learning growth moment. Like, it's such a big mistake for Damon that I think it does a lot to get him to where he can eventually be.
Yeah,
and that's where the apologist in me comes out, just the tiniest shred. But it is, of course, at the expense of Andy, of the expense of her emotions and, like, her safety. And at the end of the day, that doesn't make it okay, like, at all.
No.
But that's the thing is, like, it is, I think, obviously, like we said, he is aware how little control he has over himself and that he will kill her right now if she stays. So, like, it's a learning moment in that he's actually sort of starting to face these things about himself for the first time, that he doesn't want to kill her. But he will.
Yeah.
So it's not good, but it's interesting. It's an interesting character moment for me.
Yeah. I know, especially because they did have so many, like, good moments in the earlier episode. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. They're definitely trying to highlight something here.
They definitely are. It's definitely speaking to his character a lot.
Yeah.
Which, again, is bad. He's a bad person, obviously, but
for sure, yes. Yeah.
It doesn't mean he's a bad character. It makes him a very interesting character, in my opinion. So
yeah.
Bad episode for Damon, but a good character study, at least, in a way.
Yeah, definitely. A lot going on there.
Yeah, a lot going on somewhere else.
Yes.
Things are putting in motion at Alaric's apartment. Those witches we had seen arrived, all of their stuff. The witches are fully chanting. There are candles everywhere. Yeah. We know some big spell is going on. Alaric is just standing there, like, in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
And his body, like, jolts, and he opens his eyes, and he looks at Catherine, who's standing right there.
Yeah.
And he says, Elena. before he like completely collapses. Yeah. On the ground, which is a key indicator that's Alaric. It was definitely Alaric.
Yeah, for sure.
And so Maddox, one of the witches, obviously, he gets up, he goes over to the big coffin box thing that they had dragged in, and he opens the door, and out walks the real deal, Joseph Morgan, Klaus.
My everything. Literally. He looks so good. Oh, my God.
He looks so good.
It's amazing.
Because it's the first time we see the modern him, too. Obviously, we'd been seeing the 1400s all day. He had the very long
like, brushed hair. Back. Yeah,
yeah, very did not love different it. Aesthetic. This is like... Chef's kiss, Klaus. And he says again, chef's kiss, he's like, now that's more like it, with his English accent. And he smiles right into camera. I'm like, oh, love.
I love him.
My favorite.
Yeah, he's everything.
That's everything.
Yeah. That's all for this episode.
What an episode.
I mean, yeah, there's not much to say. We've said so much.
I was going to say, not much to say. It might be our longest episode accidentally.
More to say. Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, this is a game changer.
It truly is. Which is crazy that in such a game changer episode, to take it into our outros.
Yeah, no deaths. I was just thinking, even though Klaus is on the scene, real Klaus, no deaths somehow.
Yeah, wild. It's very surprising. We'll be making up for that in a couple of those.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
We'll get there.
Yeah.
But out of pocket, there's always some things, some would have done differently. And there is for sure. For me, definitely. It had to be the last call out of my girl Jenna not getting to know anything. They did her so dirty with the secrets. And this was one where it was finally like, this was the most wrong she got by that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's definitely a big contender for like what I would have done differently. The only other thing I had in mind was thinking more of like out of pocket. It's like pretty out of pocket for Stefan to use Damon's line about always protecting Elena.
Yeah.
Obviously very two like different vibes on those two things, those two potential options here. But yeah, one little out of pocket, one definitely would have done way differently.
I think we have to go with Stefan because
we can go with Stefan. He hasn't won it in a while either, I don't think.
Yeah, that was out of pocket. Yeah. And I know that the brothers both feel that way about Elena, but something the way he did that, I was like, that was intentional.
He's a snake.
That was a dig against Damon.
Definitely was. Yeah.
So
we can give it to Stefan. I think that's good.
Out of pocket for sure.
Yeah. As for quote, I mean, honestly, I liked all of the dialogue in this episode. I felt
it was
this
good dialogue episode.
Yeah, very strongly written episode. But I had two quotes in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I think we mentioned both of them, actually. And the first, I wanted to call Elijah's line because I feel like that is just so iconic to me when he says I believe the term you're looking for is OMG.
I love that one.
I'm like, it's so classic Elijah. Yeah. Like, if you had to ask me, like, for an Elijah quote, very obvious.
It's one that would come to mind.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that one.
Yeah.
That was definitely one of mine, too. I was like, I would want that one to win because I want to start saying that. I'm going to try to find a way to search that, like, to put that in my life of just, like, I believe the term you're searching for is OMG. People will be like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. You're like, okay, Sarah.
I feel like, so you don't know the vampire eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
My other one that I wanted to call out, because again, iconic, is Klaus. Now that's more like
it. Oh, I was also going to call that one out. That's perfect.
They're just the two clearest. I mean, we've said it before with Damon, where like he'll always, and Catherine too. But now that Elijah and Klaus are on the scene.
Oh my God, they'll always
Damon
have quotes.
Who? Catherine who? Like, I'm obsessed with these two. Let's be real.
Yeah, I know. It's like the Woody meme. Like, I don't want to play with you anymore. That's like me to Damon and Catherine. I'm like, we've had our fun for two seasons.
Yeah. Now I'm ready for Elijah and Klaus.
Yeah. I'm good with the Elijah quote though. Because now that's more like it. Like, it's so good. But the quote, I don't know.
It's mostly
like,
just that it's his first thing that he gets to say.
It's just him on the scene.
I do think, I believe the term you're searching for is OMG.
Yeah,
and
I love
sipping
it.
The tea.
Yeah, plus Elijah. Yeah, I'm good with Elijah. That as the quote.
Yay, win for Elijah.
Yeah, love
now,
him.
Now, our best song category. There are only three songs featured in the episode. Mm-hmm. I do want to say I think all three deserve a shout out here. I liked all three of them.
Yeah, I like them all too. I was just going to do like one honorable mention and then one winner.
Well, so I'll give the third, which I'm assuming you didn't say, is Compulsion by Doves.
No, that was not one of mine, so that's good.
This was the only one that wasn't played by Catherine.
Okay, that makes sense.
So it was a little separate, but I did like this one. This is what plays when Klaus and Stefan are with Jenna and they're talking about vampires, and I liked the fact that it was Compulsion.
Yeah, I
love
that.
It was a really good song. I liked that one. But of course, the two Catherine songs were the two standouts.
Obvious.
Queen has great music choices. What can we say?
Yeah, they curated Catherine's playlists, like, specifically so well.
Yeah.
Her first song, which this was my honorable mention, so I'll just say it. And I assume we have the same.
Yes.
But my honorable mention was Helena Beat by Foster the People. It's the first Catherine dancing scene.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels so fun. It was like that era.
So that era. I was obsessed with that song.
Yeah. Yeah. Such a good song. I know. I was like, I genuinely like this song. I'm like, I like to believe Catherine was also listening to this song.
Yes. Yeah. I know. I do.
So
I,
good.
Again. Yeah. Totally agree. Love the song.
Yeah.
Love the time period. It's so accurate. It's so Catherine. Yeah. Perfect. Like honorable mention. So clear winner, obviously.
Clear winner. Yeah, no doubt in my mind.
Yes. It has to be when Catherine is dancing and fully drinking, like fully escalated to party.
Blacking out practically.
Yeah, if she could, she would be.
Yeah.
Which is Get Some by, I never know how to pronounce this artist's name.
I think it's Likely.
Likely.
I think it's supposed to be Likely.
Yeah.
Don't quote me, but I think, yeah.
I never know. I'm just like the person that sings Possibility in Twilight.
There you go.
But Get Some is so iconic. It's such a fun, iconic. It has like great drums in it.
Love the lyrics.
Yeah, love the lyrics, which they notably removed the like I'm a prostitute lyric in the CW like episode, which is so funny. They weren't gonna let her like dance to that. But the full song is great. Literally love
Amazing.
It. It's on top of our like Damon Salvatore like vibes playlist that we always listen
Absolutely.
To. So it has to be in this playlist of best songs.
Yeah.
Which is of course where it's going. Get Some will be added to our playlist for all of the best song winners from all of the episodes we've covered of Vampire Diaries. I can't believe we're almost done with season two. So that playlist is getting chocked full of like really good songs now, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
So you can find that playlist in all of our various bios, descriptions. We have links there for that, as well as our TikTok and our Instagram, where you can go and do like fun polls, and there's like memes and all sorts of videos and clips, and we're always trying to create a conversation that you can join about Vampire Diaries.
Yeah, and you can of course listen to the podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and you can watch the video version if you're not already doing that on YouTube. So tune in next week on any of those platforms for season 2, episode 20, The Last Day.
Yeah.
Obviously, you already know what it is based on the title. Elena's last day.
Yeah.
Alive.
Yes, Delana Hike and Damon causing problems, basically.
Yep. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I don't know how else I would sum up that episode.
Yeah, it's a great one. I'm really excited. Obviously, Klaus on the scene now. So many good things to talk about. So many good things to get into. So.
Yeah.
I hope you join us next week for that episode. Thanks for watching and or listening to this one. Bye. Bye.